a course of vigorous action, the first step in which is personal house cleaning. Y'all follow? Y'all get the visual there? We launched out on a course of vigorous action. There was no amen after the third step prayer, guys. It was intended to be worked all at one time. All of this in one little fell swoop. Third step prayer, fourth step, fifth step, sixth step, seventh step, there's an amen. All at one time. Everybody wants to divide this up, and this is how I think we're killing people. If I've got a guy I'm sponsoring, and we talk about, and I qualify this cat, he's an alcoholic, or I find out he's a drug addict, and send him to that fellowship, or he's both, and I keep him with me. Either way, we're going to get on with a stick here, and within a couple of days, we're going to do a second, we're going to talk about that same night, and the third step prayer, same. And then I'm going to give him a little notebook and let him start working on this four step. I'm going to give him the directions in pieces so that he doesn't get overwhelmed, but we're going to get through it. I'm going to give him 1 week to do this four step. You'll follow? Some of you have been in here working on a four step for 9 months. Oh my God. Y'all take what I got to say with a grain of salt, but this is what it was intended to be, was not the all-American novel. This is not the great American writing here. This was a simple inventory. It's a fact-finding mission. It is not this long, drawn-out. The treatment centers over the years have turned it into a therapeutic. We need to write a life story. You need to know every little area of your body. They're taking things out of context out of the book to make it sound like this needs to be a long-winded deal, and it doesn't have to be. Now, some people come to us in a little better shape than others. And the first attempt through this, remember what we're talking about is getting a guy through the steps of the first time. If a little brother in the back that's sober 10 years wants me to do the work with him, we're going to do a little different kind of fourth step. You'll follow? And I'm going to let him take his time on this a little bit. We're going to go a little deeper maybe and look at some other things. First time through, I want him to stop bleeding. Can y'all get down with where we're going with it? I want the bleeding to stop. This is like going into an emergency room in triage. That's what this is all about. I don't have time for this guy to sit on his butt for 6 months and work on a fourth step. Because he may not, remember the window we talked about earlier? This window may not stay open 6 months. And if it closes while he's in the middle of this fourth step, he's going to drink again. Everybody's got the idea that this fourth step is just this gut-grinding deal. Go into any AA meeting and tell them, I'm working on a fourth step. And listen to everybody groan. Oh, you poor thing. I remember my fourth step. It was just shit. It was just hell. I don't understand that. Because if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, there's nothing grindy about this. This is an inventory. Make sense? I'm going to do an inventory about resentment inventory of the people, institutions, and principles that I'm pissed at. And I'm going to spend some time, and I'm going to look at my truth over in the fourth column, and then I'm going to go on to the next one. I'm not going to give the big bad thing that you cats seem to want to not ever let go of any more attention than I am the cat that scratched up my chair. Y'all understand this? This is not therapy. We're not going to say, I don't think she's ready to do a four-step yet. Why? She's not ready to relive the molestation. We're not asking her to do that. We're asking her to make a list of the person she's pissed at. And then look at why she's pissed at it. And then look at how it's affected her. And then look at her part. Well, she doesn't play a part. Yes, she does. Not as big a part as the person that did the bad thing. She still played a part. You'll follow? We can do these, guys. We can do them all afternoon long, and we can see this. This is about not being a victim. Marianne Williamson said this great little quote. I brought it, and a little guy out of New York sent it to me. The spiritual meaning of every situation is not what happens to us, but who we decide to become because of what happens to us. You'll follow? That's the coolest things about getting to know you guys and watch and see what you've walked through and then watch you use what you've been through to help other people. You can't help somebody else if you're still grinding about it. If you're not past it, if you're not through it, you can't help anybody with it. Make sense? And that's part of this four-step business, is to allow us to get through it. You know, the idea of... you know how they make steel? They put it in the fire. And you ain't going to make steel by going around it. You got to go right straight through it. And that's what so many people want to avoid. Fourth step is not therapeutic in nature. It's an inventory where you make a list of the things that you're still hanging on to, including the resentment to yourself. I was talking to somebody at break. Well, my sponsor told me I shouldn't put my name on that inventory list. My book says you should. top of page 66, talks about remorse and that we were sore at ourselves. If you're sore at yourself, you need to put your name on that list. A lot of you guys, I sponsor one guy and he's got 200 names on his inventory. You with this? Mr. Victim. He's hated everybody he's ever met in his entire life, you know, in his life. And then I sponsor somebody that's got 20 names on his inventory. You with us? Now, people in the treatment center industry say, well, this guy hasn't done a thorough four-step because he's only got 20 names. But the truth is some of us just weren't filled with a lot of hate. We just didn't learn to hang on to a lot of this stuff. Y'all follow? There's some of you in here that's who you are. If I took the hate away from you, this is your resentments. If I took that away from you, you'd implode because you wouldn't have anything to grind your teeth about. You follow? And everybody in here knows who I'm talking about, you know, because every meeting it's the same thing. You're always pissed. And it's like, do a good four step and get past this resentment. And I got to tell you, you'll think you're losing your mind because all of this hate and all of this anger and it just disappears. And all of a sudden you get taken to a different spot. It's a pretty cool place to be. Inventory work is the coolest. And I do it, and I do it often. And I'll give you the rundown. I'm going to make a list of in a four-column inventory. You can combine these two. They do in the book. They combine a fourth and a third in there. I'm going to look at who I'm cranky at. People, institutions, banks, cops, IRS. You with me? Institutions, principals. You'll follow? I'm a big CNN junkie. I got a lot of stuff that pisses me off. Republicans, they piss me off. Democrats, they piss me off. I don't know. It's just everybody. And I can get a head of steam behind it. You know, I mean, I can get ahead of right to lifers. Don't even get me started. And this is the stuff I grind. It doesn't mean that you can't be excited about life and interested and involved. But when you're pissed, you gotta back up because you're losing your effectiveness. So I put the name down. I look at the reason I'm pissed. You got to be honest in here. One of the things that you guys have a problem with is honesty. True. She's never there. That's so not true. Often when I needed her, she was not there. You follow? Avoid words like always and never in a four-step because it's never right. You follow? Isn't that the truth? We never have sex. That's just not true. As often as I would like, perhaps. That would go here. All right, but look at the cause. And we're trying to. If I lie over here, then I'm going to be lost over here. I got to get really specific, and this is a fact-finding deal. I'm going to look at how it affected me, guys. There's areas. We've got four-step guides you can download on some of these websites we give you all here, and you can look in the book. There's seven areas that are affected: my self-esteem, my pride, my pocketbook, my security. Go with us. All of those areas that are affected, and I'm going to list those down. I'm not going to do a bunch of writing around there. There's people that have you do that. The book is pretty explicit. Just list the damn word and move on. And then I'm going to try to get to this fourth column. This is where the miracle takes place, folks. A lot of you cats, you spend so much time worried about all of this up here, you never get to this. My part, my mistake is the fourth column. Now, this is where I cease being a victim. You see what I'm doing here? Who are you pissed at? You know, Patty. Why? No pokey pokey. Then you look over here, then you look at the third one. How did that affect me? All seven areas. Guys, listen. Y'all are laughing. Y'all look around this thing. If it's sex or checks, it's going to affect every area of your life. You want to look at the two things that we get cranky about, sex and money. Isn't that right? Sex and checks. The guys in Alabama, is it green or pink? it's women or money. That's all. I don't know. All right. So I'm going to look in this fourth column, my part. So I'm coming up to this point and I stay a victim. And that's why we don't want you guys to take a long time doing this, because you'll get heated up here, and then you're going to stop and you're going to look at the fourth column and you're going to start looking at your part. There's four areas. Where have I been selfish and self-centered? Where the selfish and self-centeredness is the root of the problem. Where have I been dishonest, and where have I been afraid? Where is fear playing a part of this? Now look at these areas. Now guys, if I can see my part in this, I can get free of this resentment. Now this is just a spiritual principle. This is a fact. You'll follow? If I can't see my part, I'll remain a victim. And if I remain a victim, I ain't going to get this business. You'll follow? Victims don't get sober, folks. Victimized people get sober every day. But if you remain a victim, you will not get sober. You may get sober, you won't stay sober. You follow? Guys, I got to say this again, and so many times that people want to come up afterwards and say, well, you couldn't talk like that from the podium. You don't know what it's like to be molested. No, I don't. But I do watch people that have been molested, that have gotten through it, that are able to help other people who have been molested. You think you're the only person, you idiot, that has ever been traumatized? Again, it's that selfish and self-centeredness on steroids. Y'all understand that? I had my own deal, you know? You don't know what it's like being blind in one eye. And I could laugh about it today, but I got to tell you guys, for years I milked this. You don't know what it's like, always in the patch, and girls make fun of you, and the pirate jokes, and oh my gosh, it's just... We can laugh about it today, but back in the day, we weren't laughing about it. Y'all following? All right. But here's the deal. Let's say a person really, really hurt you. You've got this big, huge resentment. This is the bad thing that they did. And this is your little part. Anytime you're judging somebody, you're being selfish. So selfish is going to show up in every damn deal because we're... This program, thank God, this program is about mercy and not justice. Because, I mean, I am guilty, 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 guilty. I'm a judge and jury. I've got you hung before you leave the room. Y'all follow? And that's what we always want to do. You know, he hurt me. Yes, he did. Did you play a part in this? Yes, you did. That's the hardest pill to swallow. Yes, you did. Did you place yourself in a position to be hurt? Yes. Were you drunk at the time? Yes. That didn't mean that you caused it. Didn't mean you set it up. Did you play a part? Yes. That's it. Stop looking for blame here. He's to blame. She's to blame. Y'all follow?
You're making it sound like everything that happened was my fault.
No, but you played a part in this experience. When did it happen? When I was 3. How old are you now? 50. And you're still grinding your teeth over it, aren't you? How many days have you taken this cat's inventory? You'll follow? We're not saying you're right, he's wrong. He's wrong. But you played a part, you can get free. If you can see it, move on to the next one. You'll follow? It's no different than that. We're not going to give any more time to this than we are some simple little resentment. He passed me over for a promotion. Y'all understand that? When you get to see your fourth column, you can get free. And then we're going to move on to the next part of the inventory.
So let's take the example of the 3-year-old who's been molested and the 50-year-old who's thinking back at it. Mm-hmm. What's the little part there that I've been grinding over it for 50, 47 years?
Did you tell anybody? No. It's dishonest. It's dishonest. You've been holding on to this yourself. You've been trying to walk through this all by yourself. Selfish and self-centered. How many times have you assassinated this guy's character? Let me tell you something. For somebody that sponsored people that have been on both sides of the coin, I would rather be the molested than the molester. They live in a hell all their own. But everybody's so quick to judge. You see, but I didn't make that person. And I can't cast the first stone. I can simply sit back and say, God, thank you that I'm not in that hot spot. Make sense? The bad thing that happened 50 years ago. But I've kept it alive and allowed it to affect my life for 50 years. I am wrong to do that. That is not who I am. This again, we talk about it, guys. I'm sorry if I'm irritating some of you. I realize I get pretty passionate about this. But we got too many victims out there that can't help anybody because they can't get through this themselves. It's the trump card that everybody wants to hold on to. The first time you get close to me, I'm going to throw the trump card down. And then everybody backs off. Now, isn't that wrong of me to do that? I'm not Chris Raymer, the man that was molested. I'm just Chris Raymer. But you want to remind me every time we turn around that I'm Chris Raymer, the molested. Make sense? That's wrong. I'm using this to hold you at bay. I'll never let you get close. I'll never be able to go help you because of this. You'll follow? Man, you guys don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying this is not difficult and hard to do. But we as a society make this harder than it's supposed to be. You follow? You somehow think it's your right to suffer. It's not. Because God didn't put you on this earth to suffer. God put you on this earth to help somebody else. But you can't help somebody else if you're still suffering. You can identify it and then move on and try to help them. Does that make sense? That's what this is about. The greatest gift God ever gave me was my alcoholism. That's true. because I not only suffered from it, I overcame it, came out the other side, and now I'm able to go help somebody else. You follow? The cats that I know in the fellowship, that's one of the greatest things about the fellowship, is that I know so many people, and I know a parts of their story. And I'll get a guy that'll come to me that's suffering from post-traumatic stress from the war. And I was never in the war, although I told people I was for a long time. It was always good for a few drinks. But these people that are suffering from post-acute withdrawal and post-traumatic stress, I can't help because I've never been through it. But I know guys that have been in the war, that have been traumatized, that have been through it, and I can connect them. And so I can help them with the steps, but I can also connect them to people in the program that can help them with this other business. Y'all follow what we're saying? This is not therapy. This is an inventory. Follow? You're not going to give this bad stuff any more power to harm you. It's going to cease affecting you at a certain point here if you can see the truth going out the backside. Make sense, guys? Some of y'all are still grindy about it. I'm sure sorry. It's your right to remain a victim till the day you die. What a waste. You go on to the next piece and you move on. This can, again, you can have 60 names on here. You can have 600. I don't care. But the deal is I'm going to give you a week to do it. So if you got 600, you better write quick. Because Saturday night, we're going to do a fifth step. Y'all follow? I've got a little fear inventory. I've seen these little step guide studies with these pages of how to do a fear inventory. There's two questions on a fear inventory. What was the fear, and why do you think you got it? That's the inventory. You want to do an extended and try to analyze all of this, go ahead. But that's not what the big book is asking us to do. It's asking us to list the fear and why we think we've got it. And I'm going to list that. I'm going to go through the other side. Those of us that think we don't have any fear are the ones that have the most. You'll follow? In my sponsorship lineage, it's the big joke. You know, by the time we finish listing what we think we got, it would be easier to list things that we're not afraid of. You know, little bunny rabbits. Okay, I got that one. I'm not afraid of little bunny rabbits. We do a sex inventory after that. It's a quick little sex inventory. Sex inventory has got nothing to do really with sex. It's got to do with my behavior towards the opposite sex. I hear people all the time talking about it. If we all did a proper fourth and fifth step, we could all share our fifth steps together. And there would be no sweaty, I'm embarrassed to tell you about this. Because we're not talking about it. We're talking about my behavior. Where did I unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, and bitterness? It's about my behavior towards the opposite sex. It ain't about pokey pokey. You with me? If I got a guy that I'm sponsoring, he sits down and he says, oh goody, now we get to talk about this. I'm sending him on his way. Because he obviously didn't do it the way it was supposed to be done. Y'all follow? Sex inventory is not about the numbers of times you've had sex and what you did. It's your treatment of the opposite sex. You with us? I still do resentment inventory when I do a sex inventory. I still have to write stuff down. I'm in a monogamous relationship with my wife. There's no wife. There's no extramarital sex. But there's flirting involved. And I have to look at me because I'm a flirt and a half. A shy one, albeit. But I'm a flirt and a half. And I have to look at that. It may be fine for me. It may be fine for you. But it may be making Patty really uncomfortable. You follow? I have to watch that. And it shows up on my sex inventory. Make sense? Yeah. Could be as simple as that. I'm judging them. Never walked a day in their shoes. They're drug addicts. They probably need the money. I'm not going to rationalize it. Y'all think this is about judging. Again, it's about trying to figure out why it happened. It's not. It's just, I just need to see my part. Why can another person be mugged and go, God, you know, that's just life. What the heck? I hope they needed the money more than me. And then me, I stay all torn up about it all day long because of what happened. I just have to look at what's my truth. You follow? The truth is that we allow these resentments to block us from the sunlight of the Spirit. I know we have some of you in here I've talked to that are Christians. You know, the Bible talks kind of specifically about this. I'm going to go in 10 and 11, and I'm going to do some prayer and meditation. I'm going to try to talk to God every day. God, I want you to take care of my kids and my wife and my health. And thank you, God, for you with me. I'm going to God petitioning for all this help. But the little guy over here that I was in business with that stole a couple $100 from me, I'm going to curse him on a daily basis. I'm going to go to God and ask for His protection and care, but I'm not willing to grant my own brother on earth some mercy. You follow that? The Bible's specific. Lay your offering down and go clean up your mess with the guys here on earth, and then come back to me with that. You got hate in your heart and you expect to be blessed? I think not. You follow? There's a lot of things in this world, buddies, that I just don't like. I come in a country whose government just makes me want to scream sometimes. I understand, but I got to get it to a spot where I'm not judging everybody. I cannot be the jury and the judge. I have to just be a passenger on this bus with everybody else. And I'm flawed too. You with me? That's what I hate sometimes about doing this, is people start looking up to us as like we're some sort of, gurus. You know, we can't fail. Oh my gosh, we're so flawed. I mean, look at he's as flawed as they come. I know, that's sad. That's sad. We do this little sex inventory. We jot it out like this, guys. Combine the ones. If you don't remember their names, just put a little identification on there, a little quick brief story, what happened. And we're going to go in there. We're going to look at those nine areas in there that were affected. That's what we're looking at. My truth. So I can stop doing the same thing. You with me? I came into Alcoholics Anonymous with the belief that all women were evil, because everyone I picked was mean to me. What was the common denominator with all those women? I love you. Who picked that woman? I did. Who picked that job? I did. Who picked that town to live in? I did. Why? When are you going to take some responsibility here? You want to blame everybody? Oh, okay. So I'm going to do these three inventories, and then I'm going to get somebody to do it with me, to do the fifth step. Guys, the book is pretty explicit. We want somebody that understands what this process is about. I hear people in treatment all the time. You can do this fifth step with anybody. I went to the bus station and got a person in the bus station and did my fifth step. Are you nuts? One, why would you like to? No. I'm going to do my fifth step with a priest. If the priest happens to be in the program, that's cool with me. If he's not in the program, it's not cool with me. I don't want to be absolved of this, because that's what people are going to do. I'm going to do it with my therapist. The therapist is just going to look at me and say, "You did what? With what? It's no wonder you drank." That'll be $75. It's like, wait. You want to go find another drunk to do your fourth step with, your fifth step with. Guys, when I do a fifth step with a guy I'm working with, I do a little peace of mind with him so he gets to know what this is about. You follow? We're all bozos on this bus. I'm not father confessor. You know, I want to share some stuff with him. He's going to share some stuff with me. But I'm going to let him see his truth in the fourth column. If we can't get past this, if you can't see your part, I'm going to help you see it. If you can't see it, we're done. The fifth step is completed. We're out of there. Goodbye. You'll follow? Because I'm not going to let somebody walk away still remaining a victim. We're going to move right on through this. We're going to get to the other side. We are going to set some time for this, and I let it perfectly understood when I'm doing a fifth step what we're expected to do. My job is to show you what is in there if you're not seeing it. If you're seeing it, it's going to go pretty fast, and we're going to laugh just like we're doing right now. You with me? I mean, I'm doing this fifth step, and I'm looking up and says, "Well, this is her, blah, blah, blah." Says, and I'm afraid to look up because I know it's, "Chris, you keep doing the same thing over and over," and we're laughing. You know, yeah, that's what it is. And it is. A fourth and a fifth step is hilarious. If you're doing it right, you've asked God into the room, you're going to laugh your butts off. You with us? Because you stop taking yourself so damn serious. It's a pretty cool thing. I'm going to dump a fifth step. We're going to go through all three inventories, and then we're going to get quiet. Book says we're going to get quiet for an hour. And I'm going to take the book down. It's a big joke because we put the book on the shelf and then we take it off the shelf. I don't know. Follow the directions exactly. And we're going to sit down and we're going to go over the first proposals. Do I really believe I'm an alcoholic or a drug addict? Do I really believe that God can help me get through this? Have I been thorough? This is the point in time when I'm asking them point blank. Tell me now the thing that you weren't going to tell me when you walked in the door. Let's get this out. Tell me about the sheep. And skip the details because I'm not interested. And we're going to move on down there. Y'all follow? We're going to go back over this. We're going to get quiet for an hour. Guys, and I'm telling you, I've done four steps and fifth steps with guys, and we sat down and I go to eat and I watch them come in 15 minutes later. I'm going to get them a sandwich. Hey, you're supposed to be at home in quiet for an hour now. I mean it. This is what we do. Follow the instructions. The closer that we can align ourselves with the truth of what this book says, the closer we're going to get the results. Would y'all agree? It's the further, the more interpretation that I do here, the less results I get that aligns with the book. So I'm going to sit for an hour, and then we're going to do the seventh step prayer. Sixth step, we're going to look at our character defects. We got that from the fifth step. Y'all understand that? When I do I'm going to write on the back of this. When I do an inventory, I'm going to do a list. I've got this in front of me. And as I'm doing a guy's fifth step, I got this little list, and one's character defects. And as I hear character defects come up in this fourth column, you judgmental bastard, fearful, anxiety, jealousy, all of the stuff that we look at. And I'm going to make a little note here. And then as I hear people that I think you might possibly owe amends to, I'm going to write their name down on this little eight-step list. You'll follow? So this is what the book says, is that from this process, I've got everything I need to finish the work on this fifth step. And I can show you later in the book where it says specifically that. But where?
Here.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry, I can't see you.
The sponsor is sitting there with the list writing down.
Uh-huh. Okay. Also gives you something to do to keep you, yeah, keep, gives you something to do to keep you awake while you're listening to it. Guys, for some of you that haven't been around for a while, that's the sponsor's prayer. God, please keep me awake during this thing, you know? Because I know this is fascinating information we're fixing to cover for you. It's just boring as spit to me. Guys, after you've heard a few fifth steps, there's only so many ways to pokey pokey. There's only so many ways to kill somebody. There's only so many ways. And you're not going to hear anything different. After a while, it's all going to be the same. So that's what I'm doing. I'm listening. Because that's my job, is to try to... That's why I don't want some total stranger to do this. They're just going to look and say, geez, thanks for sharing. And then people... Man, we teach this in treatment a lot in the States. The fifth step is a confession. Fifth step is not confession. And I got people that want to argue with me all the time. This step is an inventory. Part of this is purging, is getting it out, off your chest, finally telling another human being. I understand that. Guys, but if a fifth step, if all this was is about confession, the Catholics would be sober. And they're not. A lot of them are not. I mean, guys, we have treated thousands in our hospital, including the priests. This is not about just confession. This is about a fact-finding information. And from this, I get a list of the character defects I need to go to God with. Now, guys, this is a deal, and I'm going to flip it to Myers. The 6 and 7 is pretty simple. It's two paragraphs. I've been to workshops where they wanted to spend all weekend doing 6 and 7, and it's like, Jesus. I hear people in meetings all the time, I'm working on 6 and 7. I'm working on 6 and 7. It's two paragraphs. How much work can there be? When ready, we say something like this: My Creator, I'm now willing to that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. You'll follow? I'm asking God to remove these character defects. I'm not removing them. You'll follow? He makes me conscious of them. I'll tell you how that works. For years and years and years, there were people that wouldn't let me speak from the podium because I cussed too much. The message was good. We appreciate the humor, but we don't like the cussing. I'd say the F word every other word. And there was a certain element of our fellowship that really gravitated to that. Oh, you're the guy that cusses. Oh, how could... But it offended a lot of people. So in the process of going to God with this, I said, God, I need to be a little gentler here. Can you help me with this? This is a character defect. Where is this coming from? And God, over a period of time, removed this need to do that as much. You follow? I still cuss. Not as near as much. God's taken me to a different spot. My prayer always with God was that He would make me a gentler person. But you see, we have a fellowship full of gentle people. And some of us need to be horses' butts. And I think that's why I haven't been completely changed. People listened to my stuff 15 years ago and they said, Buddy, you have calmed down a lot. You're a lot gentler than you used to be. That surprises some of you. But it's the truth. You listen to some of my old stuff. But God, in His own time, is going to remove the character defects that are standing in the way of our usefulness. You'll follow? God's going to change you, folks. And the change is going to be absolutely miraculous. And you're not going to have to do a lot of practicing around this. What you're going to have to do is suit up and show up and want to be somebody different. I'll say this and quit. I hear it in meetings until I want to puke. Every time we talk about 6 and 7, I'm sure if I don't say it now and embarrass you, one of you will ask the questions. I don't know about 6 and 7. If God removes my character defects, who will I be? Better. That's... What do you mean, who will you be? I don't know who I will be. Come on, guys. I don't know who you'll be either, but you're going to be better, and next year you're going to be better, and next year you're going to be better, because along the spiritual lines, we're going to try to grow. I come from a sponsorship lens that does this on a pretty regular basis, guys. At least once or twice a year, I go back through this process myself. My inventories are quite small. I end up doing them on a couple of pieces, the legal tablet. I do a 4-column resentment inventory, a 2-column fear inventory, and my little sex inventory has gotten kind of pathetic since I got married. When I consider the flirting and stuff that goes involved, there's maybe a couple of more in there. But other than that, and I dump it with one of the guys I sponsor. You with me? Not my sponsor. He's heard it. I do it with a couple of guys that I sponsor. I let them know who we share, mutual. And then we move on down the road. You'll follow? And I'm touched and I'm blessed and I grow from every time I do that experience. And some of you cats, you've been in this room for 20 years and you've done 1 4-step and you wonder why you can't sleep at night. You wonder why your conscience is driving you crazy and you're a little irritable, restless, and discontent. Buddy, I'm encouraging you. Do another 4-step. Stop trying to live off a spiritual experience you had 20 years ago. Let's bring this thing current. I'm excited about the spiritual experience I had in Monte Carlo yesterday. Pretty amazing place. You'll follow? That's what we're after. How about you? You got something to add to that? Hey, you guys. All I'm going to do real quick, we're going to take a break here in just a minute. I just want to tie up some loose ends. Getting more into the semantic end of the deal like this, just because we're talking about sponsorship, let me ask you this fast question. When you were sitting in that meeting and you shared and some little guy was giving you the eyeball and you knew he was going to come over and ask you, and what was the one thing that you thought of first? When somebody says and start to ask me if I will sponsor them, for many, many years, the very first thing my head would do is draw a direct line to the 5th step. You see what I'm saying? I'm going, oh no, here's 8 hours of pain and suffering listening to this guy go through this thing, and it's just going to be a bloodbath, and it's just going to be... And we paint this mental picture of something that is horrendous. Well, what's of interest is that finally it was brought to my attention that if you look in the beginning of this thing, it says, next we launched out on a course of vigorous action, so we're going to gather Andy up, our little busted drunk du jour, and we're going to gather him up, and we're going to get him immediately from his 3rd step into his 4-step inventory process so that we can get him clear of this thing. But look at the way Bill writes this thing. They talk about this thing, and how do they refer to it? As a fact-finding commercial inventory. Now look, if we got any shopkeepers in here or anybody that's ever had to do a commercial inventory, I mean, it's a commercial inventory. It's an inventory. What we're doing is we're counting things. We're looking at these things. I got a bunch of batteries that are sitting in the back of the shop, and they're all dead. In an inventory, I would look at those batteries, and I'd go, they're all dead. You see, there's nothing good there to sell. And so as a shopkeeper, what would I do? I'd throw the bastards away. I got to get rid of them. They're unsaleable. They're no good. And this is what we're trying to get. We're trying to get to a point to where we can see what's worth saving and what we need to get rid of. This inventory is about resolution of dispute, resolution of problems that have been built there. Let me ask you this question. It'll give us a place to start this. Has there ever been a time in your life when you realized that you were wrong about something? Anything. You did. I know there's some saints down here. I had you pegged as a saint right off the bat. It's like we thought ill of somebody, and then we realized finally that they didn't do what we thought they did, and we had been judging them wrong all these years and stuff. And we were just flat wrong about that situation. Well, stick with me a minute then. If we do that, can we draw the parallel there that perhaps there are other things in our life which we are wrong about too, which we just have not seen? See, it's possible. In my own arrogance, I want to say I'm never wrong. But if I can be wrong about one thing, I can also be wrong about other things. And so what this inventory begins to do is clarify some of the areas where I could be wrong about things in general, about the way my life has been. It's the reason why Bill Wilson talks so thoroughly about this selfishness and self-centered just previous to this stuff. It's like he's trying to kind of raw us up a little bit. He's trying to get us sensitized to what we're getting ready to look at in the inventory process. Where have I been selfish and self-centered? It's a fairly amazing deal, but let's look back at this deal. What Chris was talking about this not being a confessional. There may be some confession involved to it, but that's not the basic premise. They always take it back to the inventory on this stuff. Now, here's the way our inventory seem to work. As a general out there in AA land, this is the way they work. Let's pretend I'm a store clerk and I got a bunch of milk that's gone sour in the back of the shop. In this inventory, the way I was taught originally, the way I want to do this is I want to tell you why the milk got sour. Well, see, we're supposed to get milk deliveries on Thursday, but we didn't get milk deliveries on Thursday. We got them on Saturday morning. Now, the coolers, this is the real problem on this thing. The coolers, they're not keeping the milk as cool as it needs to be, you see. Now, does all this sound stupid to you? It sounds just as stupid why you try to tell me why you got in trouble with the law. I don't give a rat's rear why you got in trouble with the law. It has nothing to do with the inventory. You see what I'm saying? I'm not making light of the situation. It's just not important to the story. I don't care why you were driving down the road and that you had just come to visit your mom. This is why the inventories become so painful to listen to. This is why we don't want to sit down and give time to people, because we're too busy letting them ramble about things that are not important. You see what I'm saying? It's like I need to get to know you, but I don't need all the detail about this stuff because it just clutters the stuff up. You want to know what I figured out over the years the hard way? Is that if we let a man or a woman in an inventory ramble on about his story, about the drama that goes with what we're trying to get at, usually what he's doing is just spending valuable time trying to justify his bad behavior. Almost every time. Not always, but almost every time. I'm just trying to justify it. So the inventory would be more like this. Milk, that's column one. Sour. That's it. I don't need to know why the milk was sour. I just need to know that it was sour. Because on over in the other part of the inventory, we're going to learn that this is unsaleable goods. We can't use this anymore, so we have to get rid of this stuff. And that's the reason why my inventories went from 8 hours to 2 hours. Guys, I've listened to hundreds of fifth steps, hundreds of them over the years, and none of them took longer than 2 hours. They shouldn't. Let me clarify something here real quick. This is something you will simply learn out of your own self-preservation. If you're seriously, if you're sponsoring 20 women, you don't have time to spend 8 hours listening to a bunch of stuff. You don't. Pretty soon, your bullshit meter gets really alerted, and you just start really focusing on this kind of stuff. And you go, no, sweetheart, I don't need to know all that. Tell me about this right here. I don't need to know that. That's just what happened with him then. Perfect. We're set now. You see what I'm saying? I'm getting it crystallized down to the bare bones of the inventory, which is what we were trying to do. On the fourth column, it says, we resolutely looked at our own mistakes, putting out of our mind the wrongs others had done. You see, and it goes on down there. Twice in one paragraph, it says that we look at our own stuff. We're not looking at what they did. We're just simply looking at the mistakes that we made. And when you were talking a minute ago about this stuff, or somebody over here a minute ago, you know, sometimes just bad stuff does happen to us. It does. It just does. And I'm sorry that it does. It's possible that something happened to you that you didn't play a part in. But how we deal with it after that is the stuff that Chris was trying to explain. It's crazy. It's crazy stuff. We were doing a deal one night. I'll tell you real quick. We were doing this deal one night, and I was chairing this conference, We used to play this game with all the newcomers. It was a men's conference, and as a joke, I bought this little dress, this little tutu looking thing, and I was talking to these guys at this meeting that one lucky newcomer was going to get to wear this tonight for this dance. It's an all men's deal, you know. There was no dance and there was no like this, but everybody was laughing. Everybody was just kind of, well, guys. Afterwards, this guy came up to me. He's like 80 years old, and he comes up to me and he's really angry. I can't begin to describe how angry this man was. and he pulled me back behind a curtain like this, behind the deal, and he told me that he was an incest survivor and that I had offended him. And I said, buddy, I am so sorry. Never even dawned on me. Pardon me for being so crass. It'll never happen again, I promise you. And I thought we were done with it. But we weren't done with it. As I walked out, he grabbed me by the shirt and pulled me back in, and he wanted to ream me some more. And then some more. And finally I said, enough. Enough. So I got up on the podium and I apologized to everybody for my sense of humor that had gone awry. And I took as much responsibility for the action that I took. The next morning I got up in front of this deal, said it again, that I apologized for anybody that I might have offended by this joke that had been running for 20 years in this conference. There was always this alluded thing to this. Anyway, but it still wasn't enough. And afterwards he came up and I said, I'm done. I'm done talking about this. I cannot help what I said. Sorry. Well, the next day, I'm back in Dallas, and I get an email from his therapist. And his therapist is hugely offended, hugely offended. And they're talking lawsuit. I mean, it got that convoluted, I guess. And I'm going, holy shit, what did I do? Finally, I'd had a crawl full of it, and I said, look, let me call you back in a minute. And I sat there, and I prayed about this stuff, and I called this guy back, and I said, I called the therapist back, and I said, I guess if this guy is this unstable, why do you even let him out? I don't understand what's going on this thing. I didn't do this with any malice. And I said, but what irritates me, what really bothers me, is that you would allow him to stay in this kind of pain for all of these years. I said, when did this happen? When he was 6. So what is that, 74 years? That he's been carrying this stuff? Oh, come on. I'm not making light of it, and my heart bleeds for the guy. I'm sorry that kind of crap happens. But trying to carry that stuff, what my head did finally, it went to the hundreds and hundreds of men who had been molested that this guy could have helped by his understanding, his gut reaction to what was going on. He knew and understood what it was like nobody else in the room. And why he couldn't get clear of it. I would have loved to have, absolutely loved. And I even offered, I said, please, if you'll let me work some inventory with this guy, we'll get past our resentment of each other, and we'll also be able to get him on down the road so he can go help somebody. Never materialized. But it's this deal, guys, this inventory is so hugely powerful in getting us past the drama, getting us past all the things that seem to define our life. It's like we are who we are and with all the drama and the warts and all the other kind of stuff. And some of us live with huge amounts of emotional pain over the years. I want to weep sometimes when I see what we carry as individuals when we're listening to these inventories. Please, please, keep these things simple. Milk, sour. Let's go on. Let's don't get into a bunch of stuff. And those inventories will get shorter, and then instead of pushing them away, you'll be embracing them. Another quick story. Some of you guys that Chris was talking about this, some of us tend to do an inventory and then hang on to that inventory forever and ever and ever, and it sort of sustains us for many years. And I was like that. We were in Alaska one time doing a talk, and we had like a 10-hour layover sitting in the airport coming back. It was like mind-numbing. It was like 4 o'clock in the morning. It's still sunny outside like this. And I'm just... We've talked all we can talk. I'm just kind of sitting here looking straight ahead like this, and I'm kind of unraveling. And Chris asked me some simple question. I don't remember what it was, but it was just. And I looked at him and I went, you know what? That mother. And I'm just like, I don't know where it came from, but I'm just going nuts. And Chris goes, whoa, time out. Where's this coming from? I said, screw you. I don't know where it's coming from. And I'm sitting there like this. And he didn't say another word. He's just looking straight ahead, and I'm looking straight ahead. Time goes on, and I go, finally Chris goes, when's the last time you did an inventory? And I says, none of your damn business. I'm looking straight ahead, and he goes, just wondering, you might ought to consider that. And he got up, and he walked away. And I went, So I picked up a little piece of paper, folded it, and started writing. And I started writing, and I started writing, and I just can't... I Chris comes back over in a little bit, and I'm writing, and he says something. I said, I'm in the middle of an inventory. Leave me alone. And I finally finish this thing, and I look at it, and I cannot believe what's on this piece of paper. I cannot believe the bile I just dumped on this piece of paper. And I'm thinking, what happened to the spiritual giant part? What happened to the, I'm a fruitcake in black and white right here, a fruitcake. Nobody else in the airport. I'm looking at Chris. I'm saying, you want to listen to this? He says, I can hardly wait. One, and I go through the thing. Two, and we just go through the whole thing, and we're going through the deal. Chris is, you know, I'm seeing my stuff, and as I'm seeing it, and as I'm doing it, I look at Chris, and it's all just come. I mean, the whole process. My writing took 30 minutes. Sharing it with him took less than 10. We got less than an hour involved in the whole process. So, we get done, and I said, that's it. Folded it up, stuck it in my briefcase. I'm looking straight ahead. He's looking straight ahead. I'm not saying anything. I got to go to the can. And I get up, and I walk to the bathroom. And guys, I'm telling you, it was like somebody had filled me with helium. I felt like I was 20 pounds lighter, if you can believe that. I cannot begin to tell you how much relief I felt by getting clear of the deception that I had sold myself. It's like I start with a clear slate at an inventory, and then day by day by day, I try desperately to keep the slate clean. 10th step and 11th step does a great job of that kind of stuff, but the sunlight of the Spirit is there, and if I'm not diligent, if I'm not paying attention, what scares me is my own self-deception, my own little piece of thing telling me that I'm okay. And slowly but surely, the first thing that creeps in is a little piece of defiance, and then a little piece of pride, a little piece that builds into a little piece of arrogance, and a little more defiance. I don't have to do that. That's for them to do. I don't have to do this way. Really? And pretty soon, I've got this patina between me and the sunlight of the Spirit, and I am cut off. And I'm feeling less and less connected and wondering why I'm so grindy with everybody. Why is it I can't have a conversation with my wife without eating her ass? Why can't I do that? You see? Why is it that everybody that comes into work scares me because they're going to ask me to do something I don't want to do? Why is that? Why is that? My life is consumed with fear again. I've got all this crap going on. All of this just... And I wonder... The greatest way I've ever been shown to get clear of it was right there in front of me. But out of my own arrogance, I say, I did it before. I'm clear of this. I don't need to go back and visit that. Now, what part of ego and arrogance would tell me that? See, it happens. It's the most subtle, easy thing to do. And as I cleared that thing away in that day, and I'm sitting there standing in that bathroom, looking in the mirror, smiling at myself like some goony guy. I mean, if somebody else had walked in that bathroom and seen me there like this, looking in that mirror, smiling at myself, they'd have thought, oh, who else is in here with you, brother? He's just like, whoo, man. But it was an amazing thing. And I was a convert. I just simply believe that it doesn't hurt. If there's no inventory needs to be done, then it's fine. It'll only take you 5 minutes to recognize that. But you could just as easily find out that once again you've sold yourself a bill of goods about something that is causing anguish and pain in your own life. Others didn't cause it, you did. It's just crazy. It's just crazy. One quick thing about fear, and then we'll go take us a little fast smoke break. Fears always seem to come disguised as two things. Now, you guys listen up. At its basis, it's always selfishness. But they talk about a reliance on self and how it failed us. But ask yourself this question. Is every fear that you've ever had, doesn't it come in two kinds? I'm either afraid that I'm going to lose what I already have, or I'm afraid I'm not going to get what I think I want. Those two things. I'm afraid I'm not going to get what I want, or I'm afraid I'm going to lose something I already have. And they always seem to stack up in that particular category. And when we can recognize them as that and see them for what they really are, doesn't it always come down to self-reliance failed us? If God is everything or is He nothing that it talks about on page 52 or 53, whatever it is, God either is or He isn't. And if God is everything, that was what was shown to me, if God is everything, then why should I be afraid that I'm not going to get what I need? You see? Or that I'm going to lose something that I already have. Why should I be afraid of any of that? And if you could ever make the connection of that stuff and understand that my walk is a dependence on this God that I've come to understand, however ineffectively, then I can be free of the fear. I don't know about you guys, but most of us live in lives that are consumed by fear, consumed by the things that we think we're not going to get or the things that we're afraid of losing. Consumed. Girls, how about your relationships? Men, how about those relationships? You see? How about those jobs? You see? How many decisions are based just on those two things alone? How many decisions have you made based on those two things? Fear I'm going to lose my job or fear I'm going to lose my girl that later puts you in a position to be hurt. It happens lots, guys. Lots. One quick thing about this 6 and 7 and then we can start fresh on this amends deal when we come back to the deal. One of the things that I want to encourage you to look at real quickly is there'll be character defects that you've illuminated in your inventory. Selfishness, self-centeredness, fear, dishonesty. These are things that are illuminated in great detail in the inventory. But I want you to also pay attention to the things that I always ignored. Things like defiance. Things like pride. Bigotry. These are all things that play into the deal. That downrange are the things that kick our butt. It's this thing. You ever say, I'm not prideful. Oh, no. Well, let me ask you a question. The next time you're pulling into a gas station and somebody pulls in front of you, how do you react? You see? Do you think you own that gas station? I mean, is your head telling you, by God, that's my pump right there. I'll show you a thing. Do we get all bowed up like this? You see? It's not that people push our buttons that disturbs me. It's that we have buttons to push that disturb me. That I could be 20 years in a spiritual path and still have buttons which people can push that affect me so dramatically. You see? You bet pride plays into a big part of that. You bet defiance plays a big part. And part of this thing in illuminating this thing and having this process work the way it is that we get to see some of that stuff. And if we can see it, if we can identify it, then we can effectively change it. It's pretty cool stuff. Let's go smoke a fast one and then we'll come back and finish this little deal up.
Just before we break, we're going to do a pasta basket, please, or a bag, sack. Thank you. Seven traditions. Thanks, folks.